Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod, your home for Detroit Tigers opinions, discussion, nonsense, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Alex Urban.
Welcome to Eat 'Em Up. I'm Jordan Hall, joined as always by Alex Urban. Alex, feeling a little bit better? Back atop the weather, as they say?
That's right. Feel like a million bucks, look like a 20, but hey, we're rocking and rolling here.
Yeah, the fellas have been treating us a little bit better. I feel like it's a little easier to have a rosy outlook.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing good ball. After, it's tough having a weekly podcast because you can go through the extremes of having, like, absolutely abhorrent defense. And then what we saw, tonight's Tuesday, so last night, the Rays game where they played, in my opinion, superb defense, especially Javier Baez. So, it's been a fun up and down season so far of Tigers ball, and the boys are on a little bit of a winning streak here.
And back to interesting defense tonight, as it seems like the turf at Tropicana has given us all sorts of issues. We're recording this. I don't know, what was it, like the fifth or sixth inning when we came in here to record? But it got Javier. It got Colt Keith. what an arena. Have you ever been in the Trop?
I have never been. I'd like to go just so I can say that I did. Someone that I went to high school with described it as a coffin once, and I've never been able to shake that description of Tropicana Field.
It's so weird that they can't get free agents to come and sign there. That's such a strange occurrence.
Thank God that they are like the Moneyball team to be, you know.
So I had an eventful weekend. We went down to Keeneland Racetrack in Lexington, Kentucky. Got to watch some horse racing. We actually saw the new Kentucky basketball coach. He was there working some recruit, which I saw the next day actually committed. So clearly a trip to the racetrack works. It's basically heaven. It's about as good as it gets.
So you did call it heaven on earth on Twitter. Tell me a little bit about it. Tell me about the ambiance and the experience, and I want to hear it all.
Okay, so I think what appeals to me is that it's very rhythmic. So there's a couple different areas of the track. There's the paddock, which is where the horses will come out, and they'll like walk around in a circle and get their, like, you know, the sheets or whatever that they wear on to before they're getting all warmed up and stuff. Then the jockeys hop up. So you go out there and watch that. And as soon as you're done there, you go to the betting station, you get your bets at the windows, and then you head out to the main track and watch them run. And then when that's done, you go back to the paddock. So it's very much like, I don't know, you just get into the rhythm of doing the three things, and it's just beautiful. There's a lot of, honestly, so we went on just kind of a random Saturday, and there was a ton of people doing the whole, like, get dressed up and have the fancy hats and the suits and stuff, which obviously is not my deal, but you could tell people were there for a day out. My only gripe, there's a lot of smoking at the racetrack, which I guess considering it's combined with gambling, like, it's just your vices, but I could have lived with a substantial amount less smoking. But yeah. It was... And it was perfect weather. I feel like perfect weather makes everything better. So, it's heaven on earth. Couldn't agree more.
Man, that just sounds like an ideal Saturday. I'm glad you guys had a nice time.
Yeah, well, one of these times we'll get you down there. It's, I mean, I, from South Bend, it's like, I don't know, 4.5-5 hours. Like, it's actually not as far as you'd think. Plus, we got the Derby coming up. Very excited.
I have never followed or bet on horse racing, but I might have to pick your brain a little bit here. I am a fan of the Derby and the aesthetic behind it and the mint julep. So
the interesting thing, and we've stated before, not a betting podcast, but the interesting thing about horse racing is the odds change right up until the moment the gates open. So you could bet somebody in the morning at 9-1. And by the time the race starts, if they've taken a lot of action, they could be down to 2-1, you know, whereas if you bet the Tigers -1.5, like, you got them at -1.5. It's interesting. It's just kind of a slightly different betting style, which can be both frustrating and exhilarating if the guy that you thought you were getting crap odds on, then all of a sudden, like, you get good odds on them. You know, it can work both ways. But yeah, we spent a lot of time in horse racing.
So that would be exhilaration or despair. I could totally see that.
So the weather has kind of, I mentioned the weather. The weather, I feel like, is just kind of playing games with us at this point. How do you, from a sartorial aspect, how do you handle that? Have you made the switch to all shorts, all short sleeve? Like, what's your deal?
So I'm going to put this out there, and I'm making a proclamation that I have put my coat away for the winter. I have molted like the exotic bird that I am, and I'm not going back. It's baseball season. There are leaves on the trees. There are flowers budding, and the boys are playing ball, and I'm not looking back. Old man winter, you had your time. I'm going to see you again in October, hopefully November or later. We had a mild winter, but I'm ready for spring. So no, I'm still wearing sleeved, you know, sweaters and jeans until it warms up a little bit. But I have officially put the jacket away for the winter because we're moving on to spring, baby.
I like it. Yeah, I've kind of made the... So you're a professional man. I have a job as well, but I am in a far less professional setting. Are you able to wear shorts, or are you have to be a khaki or jeans man?
When I'm out on the town or, you know, client meetings, this, that, or the other, I'll usually wear... I can get away with jeans and, you know, like a nice quarter zip or a button up. If I'm just in the office hanging out, I can get away with some shorts and some t-shirts, especially on, you know, casual Friday. But on the whole, I'm a big quarter zip fan.
Quarter zip, yeah. I feel like that's kind of what our generation has made into, like, our, you know what, this is fancy. Like, if we want to get dressed up, we're going with a quarter zip. And I don't hate it.
That's right. But if I could say, in an ideal world, if I didn't ever have to go to work, I would wear Hawaiian shirts every single day.
I could see you in a
huge Hawaiian shirt guy.
They have a collar shirt on. Tell me how that's not professional.
That's right. I just want to sit poolside and, you know, watch some baseball for eternity. That's what heaven is for me.
Hi, Tigers fans. It's Dan Dickerson, and you're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod with Jordan and Alex. Go Tigers!
All right. You ready to talk some ball?
Let's talk ball, Jordan.
So another week, if you want to count the Rangers series that we dropped, but we just took another series. We just keep picking up series. This is what good teams do. I mean, by the day, I'm getting more and more excited about this team.
Yeah. I mean, the Rangers were always going to be a tough series, and they very easily could have at least split the series, if not taken it, if, you know, some bounces have gone some different ways and the errors were just horrific. But you shake that off, you go to Minnesota, you take 2 of 3 from a divisional rival, kick them while they're down. I love it. Then you walk into Tropicana, you kick open the door, you steal their lunch money, and you absolutely have the offense explode, Jordan. I love it. I am juiced just like you. And it's about time that these bats got going.
Yeah, where the heck did that come? I'm not complaining at all. Put the 7 runs in game one. Where the heck did that come from? We got to 4, and I'm like, this is new. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands. This is new territory. and maybe it's seeing the ball inside a little bit better. I mean, it's not typical Rays pitching, I guess. They haven't exactly lit Pepio up yet tonight. Is that how we're saying Pepio? Is it French?
I'm going to go with it. Pepio.
Sure.
Have it with a nice baguette.
I could be completely make. Anyway, I feel like we're getting to him. Kenta Maeda looking pretty nasty tonight. Anyway, let's go back. Let's go back to the Ranger series. On this very show, we kind of assumed that things were going to be rough when we were to face Dane Dunning and then Jack Leiter. We kind of put the hurting on Jack Leiter.
It was nice to see. I was wholeheartedly expecting them to just get torn up by Leiter and, you know, get three soft hits and have him just like strike out 10. But no, they held their own. It was disappointing that they couldn't win that game. But, you know, for them to, you know, put up, what was it, 7-8 runs and then kind of drop it at the end, it was nice to see. So that was kind of the offensive breakout that we were waiting for. And I liked that they were able to keep pace with the Rangers largely throughout the entirety of the series. There wasn't one laugher where they just got, you know, their heads bashed in or anything like that. So Dane Dunning, though, is that, am I pronouncing that?
Him,
Dwayne Dunning? he looked good. Tigers couldn't really do much against him.
And truthfully, like, for not throwing very hard, he's one of those guys that he just knows how to pitch. You know what I mean? Almost like Kenta Maeda when he's going well. Like, he just changes speeds and all that kind of stuff so well. But
pitcher,
yeah,
not a thrower.
Yeah, definitely pitcher, not a thrower. But I feel like in that Rangers series, would you agree that I don't necessarily think they were like a better team than we were specifically. We made a lot of dumb errors that cost us games. And truthfully, like, good teams don't do that. So it is still a process and something that we're kind of trying to work out. But just in terms of actual, like, ball playing, I felt like we kind of matched them, and a split of the series probably would have been a pretty good result, or pretty accurate result. You know, taking 1-4, you know, is whatever, but I thought it was a nice little test of where we're at, and I didn't hate like how we came out of it.
Yeah, I'm not a moral victories guy typically, but it's nice. Like I said, it's nice that they didn't get blown away, and if they didn't have those terrible defensive miscues, you could have very easily split the series and felt much better about it. But I didn't feel absolutely crushed or devastated at this series, because I feel like I completely agree with you. The talent gap between the teams is large, but in that series in particular, as you're watching, didn't seem monumental, like it was two different leagues. Like, the Tigers were able to hold their own. And that was, I mean, honestly, can you ask for more against a lineup like that?
No, definitely not. And I mean, I just think back to what that would have looked like last year, and the fact that it's even that much different from last year to this year. Like, we might not be a finished product yet, but just look at where we came from. I'm very, very, very happy with that. The Minnesota series over the weekend. There was the one rough game that I still think we had the chance to win, didn't. But 2 of 3 continuing to just take series against division rivals. Like, that's how you scratch it out to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. You got to take advantage of the opportunities that you have right in front of you. It's not necessarily, I mean, we say it all the time, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And Minnesota's hurting right now. They got quite a few guys on the IL. They're just not playing fantastic ball. So to get that and take that series in Minnesota, I think bodes really well for how the Tigers are going to stack up in the division this year. So keep stringing them together. I mean, I know we're going to talk a little bit about Kansas City, Cleveland, Chicago. I'm starting to feel a little bad. I mean, this is just horrifically bad. Like, you know, they're a rival. It is, but like, we've been there, and it's just such a devastating thing to witness as a fan. So yeah, it's easy to kind of kick them while they're down, but I hope that they do not get the record for the worst modern team ever. I don't think any modern fandom should have to go through that. I just went through that as a Pistons fan. I mean, worst record in the franchise and one of the worst seasons in Detroit sports ever. But it's tough to see a team be that bad. But hey, Tigers benefit. Hopefully.
If I were to wish it on a fan base in baseball, I think I'd pick White Sox fans, though. So I'm not saying that I do want that to happen to them, but I will not shed a tear for White Sox fans. So that's that. I do want to go back to the Sunday game. Tigers won 6-1 against the Twins. If we could face Louis Varland every time out, that would be awesome. It appears that we just have my man Louis's number. Also, dude's named Louis Varland, and Casey Mize on the other side. He just continues to roll. I feel like I've been negligent in bringing him up every week as that's my guy, but Casey just keeps on rolling. The stuff, I feel like the stuff hasn't necessarily gotten better, but just his feel for it and his I feel like pitchability, all that kind of crap that people talk about, it's just coming on start by start to kind of get back to where he was. And then hope, I mean, honestly, the way he's thrown the last couple times out is better than anything we saw kind of before the injury. Yeah, I'm all about where Casey's at right now.
I'm jazzed. And you read the interviews, he's saying this is the best that he's felt in years. I mean, he's finally throwing pain-free, and he looks like it. I mean, he's letting, you know, he's got some gas. And every, you know, we said it last week, every start is a little bit of a step forward. If he can just continue that and ride that Fetter magic, I mean, you make the argument he's the best on the staff performance-wise right now, right after Tarik Skubal, who is in a world of his own.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, and I don't want to get too carried away. Like, I do think there will probably be blow-up starts at some point this season, as there are with just about anybody who makes a full complement of starts. So I don't want to, like, say, oh, this he's going to be in the Cy Young category or whatever. But, like, just to see a positive progression, honestly, from Skubal kind of – he kind of is a world apart, as you say. But out of him or Manning – that I think a lot of us kind of thought of as a sunk cost. Like, that's, it's so big, so big.
Huge.
So we've, over the last couple of weeks, we've spent a lot of time dogging on quite a few guys. So I just want to give some props where props are due. Baseball is such a long season, and things turn and twist, and I'm sure we'll be cursing all of these guys within the next month or so. We're in a good moment for all of them, so let's give them some love. Jack Flaherty, he's in the top 10 in strikeouts in the American League. Who saw that coming?
Or who would even say, like, if you were to ask me that, I would probably tell you were wrong, but you can't. I mean, the performance is the performance, and he's had, you know, a couple blowups already this season, but he's also had some innings that he's looked spectacular, and he's blown, not necessarily blowing some guys away, but, you know, he's racking up those strikeouts just as well as anybody else. So absolutely. Jack Flaherty, props to him after somewhat of a rocky start right out of the gate.
Between us, I kind of wish it was him that we gave 2 years to, not Maeda. But no complaints about Maeda recently either. So next one on my list is your friend and mine, Javier Baez. So I've long so far on this season referred to Javi as not the biggest of our problems, which is obviously damning with extreme faint praise, but he's actually been part of the solution over the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So
yeah.
Shout out Javi.
Shout out Javier Baez. I'm not ready to call him Javi yet. Give him that nickname back. Somebody asked me that on Twitter almost, but you know what? We've tweeted it out yesterday. He has been a model citizen. He's made exceptional plays in the field last couple of days. He's getting very timely hits. He's got a little bit of power in his bat. He's not hitting the home runs. I mean, it's still early, but, you know, the exit velocity is up, and he's starting to look like a little bit of the player that he used to. I mean, he's not going to be that superstar that they signed him to be, but he doesn't have to be. You know, get that OBP up, get some doubles mixed in, play exceptional defense, get timely hits, be a good teammate, and you are going to hear my praises for the rest of the season, Javier Baez. That's it. He's been doing everything right in my mind over the last week.
That being said, he's made, what, two errors now in the last, like, 4 days? So maybe we are a little early on claiming that all the defensive ails have been fixed. I think he just needs to refocus in. I think he got bored with being too excellent. It happens to the best of us.
Right.
The next one I want to talk about, Buddy Kennedy. I don't think that he's going to be long for this team. I would imagine when Ibanez is ready, he'll probably go down. But he had one game in the sun, in the spotlight, and you know what? He came through. Three RBIs. I suspect the majority of his time will be at Toledo. But, you know, when the buildings were tall, he put in a shift, and, you know, can't hate on that.
Sorry to be distracted. Isaac Paredes just had a two-run shot in the bottom of the sixth inning. They put the Rays up 2-1.
I believe you called that last week.
It will forever haunt me.
I can't remember if it was you or a listener that suggested that he was going to hit four home runs in the series.
You know, he was good for at least one, but Buddy Kennedy, man, big fly. And I saw on Twitter that he's very randomly good friends with Mike Trout and in like a hunting group with him. And Mike Trout said, if you get, I don't remember what it was, like three hits or a home run, he'll let him hunt in his personal deer stand during the season. So he's going hunting with Mike Trout, baby.
Dudes are weird. That's
so weird. But I loved it. I mean, who was expecting that? That's the kind of thing that you throw $5 on that guy hitting a home run and you just feel like you can't lose another bet for your life. Not a betting podcast, but you know what I mean. Of course not.
Definitely. Next one I want to talk about are just collectively the big bats. When I think of the big bats, I think of Riley, Torque, Canna, and Kerry Carpenter. Does that seem fair? And collectively, over the last two-ish weeks, they've been very, very good. Carp is 25th in baseball in hard hit percentage, and both Riley and Carpenter are in the top 40 in terms of barrel per plate appearance percentage. Guys hitting the ball hard, and in the case of Torque and Riley, taking walks. I feel like we were, maybe you and I, maybe not the most alarmist, but maybe a little bit alarmed about what was happening specifically with Torque. He's starting to come around a little bit.
Yeah, I got a lot of heat on Reddit for saying that if we were 200 at-bats into the season and his productive was at the same level, you know, maybe we should have the conversation about is it time to get sent down, which, sure, I'm not afraid to be looking foolish for that kind of a proclamation, but he is showing signs to come out of it. So that kind of a conversation could go away. He does look like the signs are coming around where the bat's going to heat up. You know, he's a slow starter and he wasn't going to just wallow with those stats that he started the beginning of the season with. Now, I stand by if I said if it was just going to continue with no signs of improvement, then yeah, you have to consider a mental reset, but it's good to see him coming around. And Riley Green, number one walking machine in the league right now. I mean, I love to see it. Sometimes I get frustrated just seeing because these guys will watch, in my opinion, some really hittable pitches, you know, right in the heart of the zone. But the approach is there. They're trying to control a strike zone trademark. And Riley Green is doing it better than anyone else in the American League right now.
He is. And I was slow to accept him in the leadoff spot. I liked him. The problem with him hitting one is he can't hit three. But yeah, I like him up there. He clearly is taking to it. That's kind of when he took off. He number one walk guy in baseball. Who would have thought?
How do you like him as the DH? Because I saw someone on Twitter today said, let's stop coddling this guy. He needs to play in the field regularly because of his defensive abilities, especially with Maeda. But I'm personally fine with him getting those DH spots, knowing the injury history. How do you feel about that?
Definitely. I feel like that take reminds me of 1994. And like, that is a fine way of looking at it, but that's not the only, and in my opinion, not even the correct way of looking at it. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe he's not going to play 162 games in the field. Like, is that make him any different than anyone else? Like, yeah, let's get him some run in the DH. He's a little bit more fragile. You take care of your assets. Like, that's just what you do. I criticize him for that. If you want, you will never hear that come out of my mouth.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And Kerry Carpenter is hitting the ball and being productive like we haven't seen in literal years. The statistic, what was it, 2013? He's on a 7-game RBI streak, which the last Tigers player to do that was Miguel Cabrera in 2013. But kid's been hitting the cover off the ball. I mean, absolutely nuking it, and it's much needed. The only complaint I have, and this isn't Kerry Carpenter, but the top of the lineup is starting to get that production, but the bottom of the lineup is just continues to be ice cold. I mean, between Colt Keith, Parker Meadows, the catchers, Matt Vierling's been coming around a little bit, but the bottom of the lineup's gotta pick it up, because if they do, then we're going to be really cooking with gas.
Yeah, definitely. It's very difficult to win when you have at least three, if not more, just complete black holes in the lineup, which I don't think that this is going to continue, but at the moment we absolutely have. And that's not including your boy Javi in that three. I mean, we're never not right. going to have, never not going to have that. So we need more from Colt Keith. I personally believe that it's more than possible, but probable. The catchers, like, we've seen them be good major league hitters. I don't think that there's any reason to think that they won't at least turn into passable power walk strikeout guys. And then we just need Parker to figure it out, which I think he's capable of. If not, he's still playing excellent defense when he's actually talking with Wenzel Perez. But that was a rough one.
That was one of the worst major league errors I'd ever seen in terms of just like, you can't have it. It's unacceptable. Like you move on from it, but I was aghast and disgusted at that play. I was like, come on, guys.
But the nice thing about that is they came back and won the game. Like, that was a late error that feel like in previous years and maybe even earlier in this year, which just would have been the end of the game. They still actually came back and found a way. I don't know that put them behind. I think that might have let them tie it. So we didn't like come back per se, but still found a way to win. Still found a way to dig it out. So,
which
I
is
almost
such
think that it was a good thing that it happened. I don't know.
Such an important silver lining, because all these games are going to matter. I mean, you look at just what happened to the Detroit Red Wings. It turned out that every single point in their season was relevant and important to them making or not making the playoffs, which they didn't. So if that would have cost them the game and it came down to the wire where the Tigers were a couple games out of getting, winning the division, that's a game that I'm looking back in an error specifically saying, can't have it. Just can't have it as a major league product. But to your point, it's just kind of anecdotal. Don't let it happen again, boys. Get back out there. Get after it. Nice dub.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a little bit too positive. Let's take it down a notch a little bit and talk about Torkelson's defense. I think my big question for you is, what the heck? Like, what is going on?
I don't know if some people don't like this because they're superstitious, but I'm curious if he just has the cape of the yips. I mean, he's not a phenomenal defender, but the slow start with the bat and just making these errors that he, I mean, like I said, he's never been an exceptional defender, but he's not making the plays that he's has the ability to make, and not he's fielding the worst. And I don't have these numbers in front of me, but the eye test says he's the worst fielding of his career so far in his young major league career this year. He just looks like a butcher in the field. And I don't know if he's hit his head too much or what it is, but the more that he can kind of get the DH spot until his bat gets going, or he has a day off tonight, which I think is great. But it hasn't been good, and it has cost them games. I'm willing to go that far that his defense in particular has cost them games this season already.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, it's Minnesota. It was hard to not draw a direct line from the balls that he booted to end of game with a loss. But yeah, I have to think that it's just a manifestation of him pressing at the plate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been so
totally
slow
agree.
Coming, and you can I feel like maybe more so than anyone else that's struggling, like, you can see it on his face that he just wants to do whatever it takes to get out of this. And I think that that's maybe pushing into the field. Like you say, don't misquote that. Like, he was never a great fielder, but like he was better than this. Just like you said, I don't know. Hopefully the bat starting to come around him, drawing a little bit more walks. The power has to come. Like, of all the things that I count on him to eventually do, it's hit home runs. I wasn't really counting on batting average. The batting average isn't terrible. You know, you expect the on base to be decent. It is decent at this point, but like, what's the old comedy line? Like, what you ain't going to do, what he ain't not going to do is hit home runs. Like, it's eventually going to go out of the ballpark. And I think the first time he hits one, he's probably going to hit like four in a week. We just need that. Just need to see the ball go through the net one time.
Yeah.
And I think that'll mostly fix the glove too.
It's going to feel like a 100-pound, you know, plates are lifted off his shoulders once he hits his first one, right?
That pizza spear is going to feel so good in his hands when he gets a hold of it.
It's going to be weightless. He's going to take a chunk out of it and just swallow the whole thing. But yeah, I agree with you again, and we agree a lot on this podcast, but I think the struggles at the plate bleeding into the field, and he's trying to make up for the lack of production with every swing, or he's trying to be too patient and watching some of these extremely hittable pitches just fall right in the heart of the zone. So he's going to turn around. We both know he will. Is he going to be the 40 home run guy that I predicted at the beginning of the season? It doesn't look like it now, but I mean, the second half of last year is when he really took off. It's not like he was tearing the cover off the ball in the beginning of last season either. So I'm hoping that once he just gets cooking a little bit, once he gets that power stroke, he's starting to show signs of, you know, barreling some balls and not being as late on the fastball. He'll be all right. But I still think he's a little too high in the lineup for my liking right now.
Yeah, definitely. And to give him credit, the ball he hit last night was that Monday, the first game of the Tampa Bay series, that was literal inches from getting out. And the one he hit against, I think it was Minnesota at some point in the last couple weeks, playing them a couple times and succinctly like that, has thrown off my time scale. But he hit another ball at, I think it was at Comerica, that would have been out in a lot of places that didn't. The homers will come.
Yeah. I mean, he could have three or more home runs right now, depending on where they were playing, the weather, the wind. Who knows?
He'll get them. He'll get them. So as previously mentioned, the baseball season is a long and winding journey. There's a lot of good parts, and there's some bad parts. But let's talk about some of our favorite parts. Alex, what are some of your favorite parts of the baseball season?
Number one has to be opening day. It's just, you know, it's my day. You know, I'm a huge opening day guy, but I absolutely relish the opportunity to watch a young man realizing his dreams from when he was just a little kid, a little kid on, you know, playing T-ball, like Wenzel Perez making his debut. And we're going to see some other kids come up this year. I absolutely love that. You know, you can see like just there, some of them, you know, the lights are too bright, but to see a lot of them just taking the moment, and if they get, you know, a hit at their first at bat or their first start or something like that, their eyes just light up and they look like they could fly. So I love those moments. I'm looking forward to Colt Keith hitting his first home run so he can also feel that weightless feeling because he's pressing a little bit right now. But yeah, they also, you know, the injection of energy for a rookie coming up. Wenzel Perez has been.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In my opinion, a godsend to just the energy that this team needed. And I think he's, you know, hasn't been an MVP, but he's made every chance at his opportunity so far.
Yeah.
How about you?
And also, to your point about the look in their eye, I feel like it's really easy to look at these guys as old baseball machines, you know, like they come up, they hit baseball. It's not more difficult than that. But like, I don't know, when Wenzel got his first hit and the look on his face, it's like, yeah, these are just kids. And obviously some of them are, you know, grown men, but like, I don't know, this is something that is, like you say, a dream that he realized. And I don't know, I feel like that's part of why we love it, is the emotional connection with these guys. Like, they're doing the things that we wish we could. And I feel like that's probably the look we would all have too. But my favorite part, this is going to sound, I don't know, if it's bad or good, but my favorite part of the season is spring training. I'm sure there's deep psychological reasons, but I love the beginnings of things. Morning is my favorite time of day. I love spring. I don't know exactly, like, I'm sure there's some sort of like trauma of endings that's forced that in my life. I don't know exactly. Need to dig down on that. But I love the beginnings of things when hope and all this kind of, you know, new good feelings and vibes. Also, I have a lot of like fond family memories from spring training too. So yeah, spring training. I don't know exactly. And then I feel like it's been so long since Tigers baseball has mattered after like June 15th that I kind of forget what the second half of the season actually like feels like when it's good. So hopefully we'll get to experience some of that and we can all remember together.
I really hope so. I really, really hope so, because there's not a better feeling than looking forward to tuning in every night instead of just box score watching. And, you know, listening to Dan Dickerson as you're driving around town, maybe picking up a little ice cream in the summertime. There is nothing better than that.
Yeah. Like looking forward to the Bally Sports music. I feel like I always think of like the old Fox Sports Detroit music when I think of that. But like the Bally music is starting to become synonymous with Tigers baseball. Yeah.
Until it's going to be the Amazon Prime music, right?
We'll see what Bezos has for, not Bezos. I don't know, whoever the Apple guy or no. Yeah, no, I was right.
It's Amazon.
What Bezos has for us. Amazon. Yeah, yeah. We'll see if the man can put some bars down or whatever. So we have done the thing that good teams do. We've continued to win series, but we are not in first place. There are two teams ahead of us that lead baseball in run differential, the Guardians and the Royals. Woof, what the heck? With this was supposed to be the division that all you have to do is be above 500 to win. Not great.
No, not great. I did see a random statistic, and this isn't to take anything away from them, but the Guardians have the most help from the official umpires this year. Like, their run differential has been helped the most, and the White Sox are the least helped. So your check did cash, Jordan. But yeah, I mean, I don't have any kind of pulse on the Royals at all. Like, I have no idea what to make of them. I don't think it's sustainable. I do think the Guardians are always going to be that team that just comes out and plays well. I mean, they're a pitching factory. They're getting some timely hits. Obviously, you mentioned the run differential, but they could be the team that the Tigers have to chase down. I don't know if Minnesota is going to be able to climb out of this. It's still very early, but they don't look great and the injuries are stacking up. But yeah, Royals and Guardians jumping right out of the gate. Who saw that coming?
Yeah. The Royals. I was looking in to see who we face the Royals, and we'll get into that here shortly. But the starting rotation, Seth Lugo, his ERA is 2.03. Brady Singer, he just got blown up in his last start, but before that, he was super good. Michael Wacha's kind of turned into what we all thought that he would be when he first came up with the Cardinals. And the rest of the rotation, Cole Ragans has some of the nastiest stuff going. And Marsh is the other. Like, it's kind of a nice little rotation. It's the guys that are going to give you a chance to win every time out. And I think they have enough offense to actually, like, pair with it and be dangerous. I feel like they're kind of in that same boat with us. It's just they're so young. They're kind of just figuring out how to win at the same time as we are. Unfortunately, they have the star in Bobby Witt Jr. Not that Riley isn't a star for us, but like he's not Bobby. Bobby's a freak of nature.
I love me some Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, it just is so unfortunate, and not unfortunate, but somewhat unfortunate that the drafts, you know, some years you get a Casey Mize, which we're very excited about him. But then other years, you know, they land with, and I know that Bobby Witt Jr. wasn't the first overall pick that year. But maybe he could have been with the Tigers pitching that high. So it's going to be fun to see him. I think he's going to be the next Tiger killer, just in terms of he's probably going to spend quite a few years in Kansas City and beat up on us. But hey, it's nice to be able to watch a talent like that. He can beat up on the Guardians and the Twins and the White Sox, but hopefully he cools off a little bit once he gets to town.
Yeah. How old do you think Salvador Perez is?
You know in your heart you want to say he's 40, but I think I saw like last year, which surprised me, he's 32, 33.
Yeah, that was the – yeah, exactly. It feels like he – like I almost can't remember a time that he wasn't there, and yet he's like 30, 32, 33, 34. Like I don't understand how that works.
Before I saw that last year, I was convinced – not that I was thinking about this all the time, but that he was same age as Miguel Cabrera. You know, that they came up together.
That feels right, though.
Yeah, they broke in together or something. So he is an iron man in terms of longevity. Still, you know, pretty decent player, too.
I imagine you laying in bed at 11:30. Why can't I sleep? Leave me alone, Salvi. I don't care how old you are. that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh.
So you have down here, and I think this is a really interesting question. Do you think it's too early to start scoreboard watching?
I don't ever think it's too early. I think you got to kind of pay attention to what the teams are doing around you. Obviously, there's nothing to be done of it other than kind of pay attention. But if you can see that the Guardians are leading the division when they weren't necessarily expected to, you can kind of research into what's going on over there to see if there's any smoke to that fire. So I like to see where the Tigers are stacking up against. I'm also the kind of person that will scoreboard watch for the entire season, but I know a lot of people don't scoreboard watch until it actually matters in terms of the middle of summer for the playoff chase. But no, I think I like to see where the pecking order is in terms of the division and the American League. So I'm keeping very close track for the wins and losses, at least for the teams in the American League Central. But I'd love to pose a question to you.
Yeah, I do. I do too. I feel like it gives you the chance to get like double wins. Like, yeah, we won tonight and they lost. Like, even better nights. It also could go the other way. It could be, oh, we lost and they won. Like, that's a real rough night. But I'll roll the dice there. I'll go for that super high, even if I'm risking a super low. I do kind of agree that the freaking Guardians, like, They rolled into Terry Francona. Like, that was just a massive stroke of luck, and then they rode some of that. I still feel like they kind of have those roots of being just an incredibly well-coached team that just plays well and hits and pitches. But hopefully, like, they're currently plus 52 run differential. That makes me a little bit nervous that it's sustainable, and hopefully it's not. If they keep that up, we're in all kinds of trouble. But I believe we're right in the wild card mix too. So who knows?
It's a long season, but they look the part early, and I can't knock it. Can't take it away from them, and they're the team to beat. So Tigers, go get them. I don't know when we play the Guardians, but when they do, it's going to be very interesting to how they perform, because the Guardians, formerly Indians, had the Tigers number for what felt like a decade. And if I'm remembering correctly, last year was the first season in quite a long time that they had an above 500 record against Cleveland, which is like, okay, got off the schneid. Let's let's play to our ability now, and let's continue on this momentum. Am I correct that they had a 500 or above record against all of the rest of the AL Central last year?
Yeah, that's too long ago. No idea.
Forget it.
I believe you, but no idea.
Scratch it from the record.
No, I'm leaving it on the record.
I love it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Nope, I got nothing.
Oh, okay. So we mentioned this on the show last week, and we've kind of put out the tweet on Twitter, but we are giving away some free merch. We teamed up with Athlete Logos at Athlete Logos on Twitter, athletelogos.com, for a Eat 'Em Up and Tigers merch collab. There's a couple different Tiger t-shirts, and then there's the Eat 'Em Up branded one. Got mine in the mail, I don't know, about this time last week. It's nice material, nice printing. It looks really good. Anyway, we're giving away shirts. So here is how to enter. Looks like Riley might have just hit another dinger. Am I correct in saying that?
My feed might be off. I just saw Carson Kelly hit a single.
All right. We'll come back to that.
He did. You're right. My feed was late. Riley Green, two-run bomb, baby. Tigers take the lead. Let's go.
What a night for Riley, man. Two home. I wonder when the last time one of our leadoff hitters has hit two homers in a game. It's been a very, very long time.
This young man is budding before our eyes. What were we even talking about? Does it even matter? Riley Green has arrived.
What were we talking? T-shirt giveaway. T-shirt giveaway. All right. So I genuinely couldn't remember for a second either. All right. So here's how to enter. I will link it in the show notes, but there's a tweet that we sent out. You need to follow, like, and retweet it to enter. You can tag five more friends on Twitter for five more entries, and you will be notified via DM from the show account if you've won. And actually, I think we will announce on the show next week. So we'll announce some winners there. Join in the fun. If you want to just order your shirts and not wait for the winners, athletelogos.com. And I'll probably link that in the show notes as well. So good luck. All right. This week upcoming, you mentioned this. This will be an interesting and very telling week. We have one more with Tampa. We got Tyler Alexander. What'll be when you're listening to this today, Wednesday? That'll be, unfortunately, Tyler Alexander is exactly the profile of pitcher that just absolutely tears us apart. So that'll be fun.
Jordan, I'm going to bet you lunch that they blow him up tomorrow.
Really?
I think they scratch 4+ runs off of old friend alert Tyler Alexander, and I will bet you the sandwich and side of your choice.
All right, you're on, buddy. I don't love that we're considering 4 runs against Tyler Alexander to be blowing him up, but I mean I can't disagree with that for your crafty lefty. So hopefully
Mark Canna, home run, baby, solo.
There we go. Let's go, boys.
This is fun to watch.
We should do shows during the games more often. It seems like all we do is hit home runs during them.
I mean, they seem to play exceptional on Tuesdays when we're recording. So keep it going.
They do.
They should just play double headers on Tuesday and take them both. We're good luck charms. If you're listening out there, you are a good luck charm. Tell your friends, eat them up, pod. Good luck for the Tigers winning games.
I mean, you can't draw the line completely, but I can't definitively say that it's not the case.
Indeed.
So, and then the Royals come to town, which kind of like with the Rangers, this will be another good test to see where we're at. Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, and then Michael Wacha. Those are three pretty nice pitchers. It will be, it'll be tough, but you know, you got to win games, got to beat tough pitchers to get into the playoffs. So. And the way we're rolling right now, the way Riley's rolling right now, don't put it past us.
That's right. That's right. Going for the sweep tomorrow. I mean, it's too early, only 2 runs up in the top of the 8th, but if this holds on, go for the sweep tomorrow and then, welcome in the Kansas City Royals and see what you can do against another divisional opponent. But yeah, I agree with you. I like Kansas City's pitching. I've always liked Brady Singer. So good test. Looking forward to seeing some of these games.
Yeah, definitely. You ready to go down on the farm?
Let's go down on the farm.
All right. We have to start with Max Clark. He's lighting the world on fire.
He
must have heard us talk about Wyatt Langford all of those weeks during the Ranger series. He is absolutely smoking the ball. He's walking. All of the things that you want to see an 18, 19-year-old kid do at single A, he's doing. Maybe we can give the man a break a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this instant gratification society, people were ready to write this kid off as a bust, which is wildly too early. But let me hit you with some stats so far. And I don't know if this accounts for this evening. I saw he got another hit today, but 49 at-bats. He's got an average 286, 373 OBP, 740 OPS with 4 stolen bags, 12 ribbies, and 1 bomb. So this kid's heating up, Jordan, and I absolutely love to see it because, yeah, you kind of gulp a little bit. I was surprised at the pick, but he has my full support, and he has the potential to be an electric player. So keep beating up on that single-A pitching, young man. Let's see you in West Michigan sooner than later, I hope.
Yeah, definitely. We should try and be there for his debut.
I'd go.
I like how we just always pull out all of these plans. Like, yeah, we'll meet at Toledo for a game. Yeah, let's try to meet there for his debut. We should keep a list of all of our plans.
Agreed.
But yeah, he's been great. And to your point on Twitter today, the bonus that came along with him is activated and will be playing at Lakeland now too. And Kevin McGonigal, pretty pumped to see him finally make his debut.
I saw he got a hit today already too.
Oh, let's go. I feel like this shows just how much of a nerd I am, but I love watching that Lakeland team. The Lakeland team is frequently on my phone from the MILB app. They're so much fun, and it's nice to not need them as a respite from like the Tigers sucking anymore. So two good teams. What am I supposed to do with that?
I really like Max Clark, but I am more excited to follow McGonigal. Like just see how it fans out, just kind of see how he progresses. You know, I like I said, very excited for Max Clark, but even more excited to see the possibilities of Kevin McGonigal and your boy Josue continuing his hitting ways.
Yeah. Yeah. He is an on base machine. All I'm saying is let's get him out from behind the plate. All it does is hurt you. That's all it does. Let's jump to AAA. Brant Herter, 21 Ks in his last 13 innings. He's always been a pretty big strikeout guy, but he's actually like getting guys out too, not just striking guys out. Big arm, lots of talent there. That's a guy that I think I've mentioned that I like because he's a wild ride. Seems like he's kind of reeling that in. That's the word. I had the fishing pole like going, but I couldn't find the word. He is reeling in that problem. It would be really cool if he turned into something. Honestly, even as an impact bullpen piece, maybe down the stretch, like a guy that can throw that hard, if you're using him for one inning, that's just going to tick up even further. But
this is so random. Do you know if he's like a big guy stature wise?
Oh, he's ginormous. He's a unit.
Can we start calling him the Big Hurt?
Oh, I like that. Especially considering the original Big Hurt has already moved to the Big Hunk. So the Big Hurt nickname is still back available.
All right. Big Hurt. Yeah. Hopefully in the confines of Comerica Park sooner than later. But yeah, keep it up, kid.
Last name I want to mention, Luke Gold down at West Michigan. As excited as I am about Lakeland, I'm that unexcited about this year's team at West Michigan.
Yeah.
Max Anderson has been good, but the guys that we wanted to see something from, Isaac Pacheco, Roberto Campos, not so much. But Luke Gold on the year is hitting .348, .444 on base with four homers.
Yeah.
Before tonight, we didn't have four big leaguers we didn't have a big leaguer with four homers. We do now, but can't sleep on that.
Luke Gold is the only golden gleam of light from that team in the minors this year. But he is just absolutely punishing the ball right now, and the numbers speak for themselves. So I'd like for them to be aggressive with him. I know he's not a young pup. I want to say he's 23, 24, if I'm correct. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see what he can do at the next level at Erie, Pennsylvania, and go from there.
You know what they're probably not going to do? Be aggressive with him and move him along.
Probably not.
He is a little bit older. Like maybe if there's somebody that he'd be willing to be aggressive with, it would be him.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Trial by fire kind of deal. Absolutely. Excellent. Do you have a Tiger King crown for this week?
I mean, I'm being completely swept up in the moment, but it's hard not to give it to Riley. I mean, the man's hit two homers tonight.
Yeah, there's no doubt and no argument for me. Riley Green, crowned this week as our Tiger King. Way to go.
Tiger King.
All right, should we get into listener questions?
We got to find one to get to Foley. It seems crazy that we're like 4 weeks in and he doesn't have one. Yeah. And David Bednar does. So maybe next week it's Foley's turn.
Absolutely. If he continues to just absolutely be money, he's going to get it at least a couple times this season.
Right,
we roll into listener questions here. Thank you, everyone who submitted questions. Sincerely appreciate it every week. So Aaron Caverly on Twitter Is it time to send Meadows down to Toledo and give someone else a look? The plus defense just doesn't make up for the pitiful bat, in my opinion, he says. Thoughts on Mr. Meadows?
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with sending him down, but like, you have to bring somebody up and you will have a full complement of innings to replace in center field. Like, you're not going to use Vierling there to replace all of those innings. I guess Wenzel. I don't know. I don't necessarily think that there's a better option for the team. For Parker, I think it would be a good idea, but for the team, I think you kind of have to sit on him at this point. He is probably the best option.
Yeah, I want to see him try to fight through it. I mean, he's got two bombs, which absolutely nuked both of them. The results haven't been there, but he is better than this. So I'd probably give him till mid-May, and if the results don't improve, yeah, maybe have the conversation. But I'm willing to give him a little bit more time.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Aunt Troy on Twitter. He says, fresh off the series opening win in Tampa, do you guys think Skubal is a top five starting pitcher in all of baseball?
I mean, I'm biased, but I have a hard time saying no. I would say if you were talking about who is best right now, I have a hard time making an argument for five people ahead of him. He's on another plane right now. Like, we haven't had anybody like this since Verlander.
Right.
He's just flat out.
Right. No, I totally agree. I think the statistics are he has been the best, if not one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball since the second half of last year. And he's just continued to mow people down this year. So I'm willing to say, like you are, Jordan, I'm not going to pull up the entirety of the best pitchers in the game in front of me, but right now, squarely in the top five in terms of performance and ability and the way he's gone.
And to halfway house it, he is absolutely one of the five best left-handed starters in baseball.
Yeah. He's a Cy Young candidate as it stands, no matter what Carlos Monterez says. Linsner on Twitter, our buddy.
Someone's been watching too much. Someone's reading too much free press, right, which could argue that any amount of free press might be too much. But anyway, go on.
Our boy Linsner on Twitter, staying in the division, are the Royals for real or just off to a hot start? Talked a little bit about this, but let's, you know, quick fire. Real or not real, Kansas City Royals?
Unfortunately, I'm going to say real. And real to the extent that I think they're going to be in the divisional hunt. I'm not going to say like real that they're going to go full Diamondbacks and go to the World Series, though I do think that is also in the realm of possibility. So I'm going to say real, unfortunately.
I'm going to have to disagree with you this time. I think that it's a nice start. I don't think it's sustainable, and I'm going to say not yet, but they are starting to piece it together a little bit after having some rough seasons with no top 100 prospects. And you're just like, what are they doing in Kansas City? I think they're going to be a tough out for the rest of the season, but I don't believe that they're going to be there at the end. I think it's going to be between the Tigers and the Guardians, Tigers, Twins, combination of the three, maybe. But I do see them probably fourth in the division.
I hope you're right. That would be good. I prefer your answer.
Crack Tiger on Twitter, who uses the 1920s logo, which I'm a big fan of. Who is the next AAA player to get called up? And let's for the sake of argument, let's make it a rookie, not just a journeyman player like a Buddy Kennedy.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting one. I will go Keeter Montero.
Ooh, that's who I had too. Excellent.
Nice.
And I got the numbers ready to go. He's got.
Oh, I'll let you spew the numbers. Go for it.
0.69 ERA, four games started with a WHIP of 1.08. Good stuff. Good numbers from Keeter.
My only concern with him is I believe he only threw one inning in his last start, and I'm not sure why. I did a lot of digging and I couldn't find anyone talking about it. So hopefully it was like a rain out or something. It's not injury related. But that's definitely something to monitor. We hope for no injuries, and I don't necessarily think that he would be called up. Like if there's a rotational injury, it'll obviously be Manning. But I wouldn't be surprised that if it was a bullpen arm that they needed, they could go to him. He's already on the 40 man, so they wouldn't have to make a move there. And he's done more than enough to get it, to deserve a call up.
Yeah, so, for sure.
I'll stick with him.
Yep, totally agree. I mean, you know, just for the sake of argument, we know it would be Matt Manning if they need a spot starter. But for someone being called up for the first time, he's probably going to be my name. I think it's a little too early for Jace Young, who is not on the 40-man roster, so you got to cut somebody loose. And he needs a little bit more seasoning. I like what I'm seeing at Toledo right now, but Jace Young, maybe see you later this summer. I know, you know, our boy Tigers Torkmoil said we're probably not going to see him till September. I think we see him earlier than that. What's your I think we've done this before, but June 15th, earlier or sooner, Jace Young?
I'll go later. I think that there's an injury world in which he is clearly the best option. Like, if we need somebody right now to play third base every day, I think he's who we go to. Mm. But I mean, hopefully with the guys that we're running out there right now, neither the need like from the plate or from injury arises. Mm. But yeah, I think that it's going to, and I would, like I said, I would be very surprised if he didn't come up at some point this year. But I might be a little closer to our boy Turkmoil.
Yeah.
A little closer to September.
That's fair. And just giving credit where credit is due tonight, as a total waterball, but Buddy Kennedy, just made an exceptional bare hand play in the field to get an out at first base.
Let's go, Buddy.
One of the questions that I didn't include on here, and I'm sorry for not crediting the listener, but somebody said, is there a more old-timey baseball name than Buddy Kennedy?
No, definitely. Buddy should have played in the 1940s, for sure.
Absolutely. And that is it for listener questions this week. Really appreciate everybody submitting questions. Please continue to send them in. We love to talk about them. So, Jordan, are you excited about the NFL draft coming into town at all? Is that pique your interest?
It does not. I more have that question for you. I know you're actually a Lions fan. I don't really have like NFL fandom, so the draft doesn't necessarily do a whole lot for me, but I know you do. Is that something that will pique your interest?
Yeah. I mean, I look at it kind of like a once in a lifetime experience. I don't know if the draft will ever come back to Detroit. It's something that I've been following for a long time. I've been following mock drafts since I was in high school. So I'm excited, and I actually have the opportunity to go to a green room party. One of my clients has a sponsorship package, so we got some green room passes to the one and only Roger Goodell's party. So very pumped about that. And then our friends at Moots Pizzeria and Bar, who I represent as a public relations professional, were invited by the NFL to come on the draft stage on Saturday, which, you know, it's a later round, so it's not a much fanfare, but invited on the stage to do like a pizza throwdown challenge with another pizza place in Detroit. And it's, you know, it's all friendly. There's not a winner. It's promoting local businesses as a whole. It's great. But they're going to be up there, you know, in between draft picks. So pretty exciting, pretty exciting for the city. I'm going to be down there, like I said, on Thursday for the first round at that party. And then on Saturday, I'm trying to get on the stage by saying that I'm going to take some, and will take some social media video for the restaurant, but, you know, trying to insert myself so I can say I was there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you can tweet it out too, but definitely text me and let me know like approximately what time it's or what round or whatever. I would very much like to try and tune in to see that. Do you know which of their amazing pizzas they're planning on throwing down? They go in Bee Sting?
I think they got to go the Bee Sting. But I will say it's not televised. It's during a commercial break in between picks. So I will send you some video. I know. I'll send you some video from the event one way or the other. But yeah, if they put the Bee Sting forward, even though there's no winner in this pizza throwdown, they will have thrown down their best.
Yeah, there will have been a winner. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah. Anything you got shaken this week or anything you want to close this episode with?
No, I don't think so. Just very excited for all your draft festivities. That'll be sweet. Being in Roger, the Czar's presence. That'll be something.
Yeah, I'll get an opportunity to boo him right to his face.
Just kidding. Should ask him about the call, the one that all Lions fans are still so pissed about.
Oh, at Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Yep. It's like, explain it to me, Roger. Make it make sense.
Yeah, he'd be like, you can leave.
It's true.
Thanks for coming. Well, I think that's it for us this week. really appreciate everybody tuning in. New episodes every Wednesday. We're going to put out some great information about that t-shirt giveaway. Jordan, did you say we're going to announce the winners next week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So like, follow, subscribe. Please leave a five-star review on your listening streaming platform. You are at hosted by Jay Hall. I am at aurban91, and the show is at eatemuppod. Would like to love to have you as a follower. We'll follow you right back, and we'll see you next week. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.